This is March 25th, 2009.
I say I live in thought. I don't live. A lot of thought goes on in me, but I don't identify with any of it. I find thought, I don't want to say useless, but I'm not, I will interact with thought with other people who, as T.S. Eliot had a character say, I got to use words when I talk to you. So I'll use categories and concepts with people. I don't believe in any of it. And I will bring in other concepts just to tweak their identification with the concept we're talking about.
And had your belief system been any more entrenched as far as pushing against, you would never, ever have the in-depth information that you can get from Ian.
So I didn't get that. Did you get that, Carol?
This is what's unique. We are calling Ion Ian. This is the only session I think I know of we're talking Ion, because a few days later we figured out to use Ion. But you'll note through this we're talking about Ian. Another point is that Ian refers to JW as the vehicle. Just those are 2 points I knew I had to tell you.
So I didn't get that. Did you get that, Carol? I know she's doing something downstairs.
No, I didn't get it.
Yeah.
If you had any resistance more than you have now, you would not be able to have such fluid interaction with, as you call it, Carolyn calls us, Ian.
Right. You're saying we wouldn't have got from there, wouldn't have got here from there.
You wouldn't get as much as you get.
Wouldn't what?
You wouldn't receive as much information and or blocks of thought if you had any resistance regarding anything.
That's right, because the first way you expressed it was, if I resisted against the fact that I had to use words,
mm-hmm.
that would be a problem. I wouldn't be here. I didn't need the words. In other words, if the guy wants to talk to me, I'll talk. He'd probably be surprised how indifferent I am with what we determined we thought.
Yeah,
I agree
Perfect
with that.
Words. Perfect words.
Yeah, I agree. You get that, Carol?
Yes.
Okay, so that's good. I see, McLuhan said the medium is the message, and the medium was anything humans created, which means it came from thought. Things were created. And he was pointing out, don't get fooled by the thought, metaphors, media, or environments you think you're inside of. Now, that would be ancient wisdom, that's wisdom all through the ages, just said in a modern vernacular. That has always been what the shamans or the enlightened ones or the ones with more poise were trying to get the less poised people to perceive. Would you agree?
I would, and a good example without a metaphor is the prophet known in the Old Testament.
What they did.
That's a good example of what you're describing.
Yeah, the prophets did that. Let me see. Here's something kind of obscure. I know a year or two ago, the vessel had me look at one of the Israeli kings of Israel, and he was the worst one. Can't remember.
Manasseh.
What?
Manasseh.
Yeah. And so I read up in Manasseh, and he was a guy who dabbled with the occult and all this stuff that was not considered proper for a king, and he also changed his father's reforms. But without getting into those details, I thought that as the vehicle was getting more interested in the occult and the ESP world, that as a Christian, to the degree I thought he was a Christian, and he presented himself as a Christian, it was a crisis of, quote, conscience, and he was wondering whether he could do that, because he also saw himself building the Solomon's Temple and a position of responsibility unfolding as a trillionaire in the future. So he wondered if he could dabble in the occult and survive and not be an evil king as the stigma was presented on Manasseh. Am I right that he was projecting his own considerations about what he was getting interested in?
No, he was intrigued. exponentially. But he also saw that Manasseh, who was not regarded as a good king of Israel, he saw the ability of him still to rule. Israel did not fall because of Manasseh. He wasn't recognized as a good king. Now, drawing a parallel, King David supposedly was a good king, but he actually brought the temple to ruin. Manasseh never did that.
So he was puzzling over that.
He was, because if King David was a man, quote, after God's own heart, and Manasseh wasn't, why did the temple fall under King David and not under Manasseh?
And he was thinking this not with his own dabbling in the occult in mind. That was not relevant to that issue.
Yes, because I don't think he understands what a cult is.
Okay, I just know among fundamentalist Christians, they kind of call what we're doing now talking to demons. And I assume
they also are waiting on the, they're also sinners waiting on the hands of an angry God to come and bash them.
Yes. And with assuming the vehicle lived in that culture and believed it and was part of it, though I got to know he wasn't part, he didn't think that way. He was a unique Christian. To the degree I wondered, and not knowing fully what he was, I projected that he was concerned about the direction he was going in, which has led to this situation. But that's not true.
The main focus, in my opinion, of that situation, because see now I'm speaking for vehicle through a relationship with Bob, was the basic strategy. Any foundation, if you can shake the foundation, you might consider changing that foundation, and that may be in what is transpiring, that the vehicle can come to a higher place of understanding and would not be judged by those biblical references that you were discussing.
I'm sure I got that. Could you state that again, maybe simpler?
Yes. The vessel evolved. The vessel had knowing. Okay?
He evolved over the last few years.
Yes. Well, over his whole life, and it's still evolving. But he's come to understand there is more than Manasseh's participation. It just became historical. Which is important, but it just became historical. It wasn't that he should be judged or judge himself regarding Manasseh or Kings and Chronicles.
That's what he realized?
Yes.
So, when I met Jay, when I started talking to the vehicle in 2006, and then I'm talking to him through 2006, 7, 8, by the summer, by the time we get to Hawaii, am I talking to a person who has learned a lot and changed in those 3 years?
Absolutely. But
here's a way to, was he becoming more detached from the conventional Christian views that were among his fellow church members?
The last sentence is what made that a true statement.
Yeah, the whole sentence was the last sentence, wasn't
no,
it?
No, but the last part of that sentence. He has a heightened Christian experience.
Yeah.
A more fruitful relationship with God, with Source, with pure positive energy, because that's now his experience that he recognizes. He had all along, but he recognizes. But when you drew the parallel or completed it with other church members, yes, that's where the separation really has taken hold.
More so than the last few years.
Oh, my stars, yes. I don't know if it's a revolution or a revelation.
Right. I would say that he quoted the Bible a lot 2 or 3 years ago and not so much now. Is that indicative of the change?
That's because of you.
Yeah, and that's where the McLuhan, he jokes about it, but he is interested in the McLuhan stuff I brought to him. Yeah. Carolyn, do you want to add?
Saying true, just like Old Testament rings true.
Right. So I would say that's where eventually, after a couple of years, I was able to say some things. I opened up and said some things that I held back for a couple of years. And that's where he saw something different in me or appreciated me more or something like that. Okay, so that that's what I thought was happening, so that's good. You're verifying that. And what would you say to that, Carolyn?
No, that's good information.
Yeah, we wondered if he was sort of appreciating McLuhan more this past 6 months than he did before. And it sounds like he was.
I mean, I don't think you can just narrow down to McLuhan, though, appreciating just all the interaction and all the opening up and...
But McLuhan became the icon for the whole multi-level relationship, so that he would say, now, as... But our guy McLuhan would say this, you know, he would start quoting McLuhan with a smile or a smirk. That indicated his absorbing of it. Correct, Ian?
That would be correct, and don't forget your buddy Peter.
Oh, that was even more recent, yes. We did discuss Peter 2 years ago, but Peter is more involved with the vehicle because Peter visited him recently. And that to me means that Peter is there now and would like to say hello.
Yes.
Yeah. Does Dr. Peter have a message for Carol and I in light of the many conversations we had through the Evergreens with him, and or a few conversations? And we would like to know, where the hell is Lily? Why does she not want to talk to us? Of the things you predicted?
Yes.
She knows your work too well.
Yes.
And she can't see through the actualization of what you predicted.
That is exactly correct.
And I knew that, didn't I?
As it unfolds closer and closer, if you notice, it gets closer and closer to exactly as it was described.
Is that Peter talking?
Yes.
Yeah. And Peter could say that you know that I knew that's what she was going through a year or so ago.
And you are the resonance of that fear.
That's right.
Reality.
Yeah. She does. I would just intensify it if I talked to her.
Absolutely. Because you can't help it, because you're one of the few that actually are alive that knew it.
That's right. And I knew that, didn't I? Yeah, so I didn't bug her daughter. Her daughter...
And almost brought it out of me sometimes.
Brought what out of you?
The translation of what was to take place.
When did I bring it out of you?
In the whole process, when the gold business was starting to get going.
Oh, yeah.
And when the things that we knew that we were describing... Some of that we would get from you. It was some of your, I don't want to say paranoia, but it was the way you were of listening allowed that to be developed. I don't think I could have gotten it as clear had I not had a relationship with you.
Which was after the tapes were finished.
Pretty much.
So it was our, you're saying that I could mirror back. I was one of the few people you could talk to get into what you thought you were thinking about.
Correct. To develop it.
Yeah, to develop it. And we did it very rapidly from December 14th, 86 till you died in March 14th, 87.
It started unraveling pretty quickly there, didn't it?
Yeah. And, well, what do you mean? What was unraveling?
The process.
Yes. Yes. Our interaction. As a matter of fact, you confessed to me, and I'm probably the only person in the world who knows it, that there was the Hindu mythology as a level of metaphor in your work.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you told me that.
Absolutely.
And, you see, people want it to be known whether there were organic robotoids or not. And if I actually said, well, there was a Hindu mythology, then they'd say, oh, it was a metaphor. Now, there were no organic robotoids as far as I knew, and according to the evergreens. But I appreciated what you did, because you were, the organic robotoid was a metaphor for the android meme, as a, or part of the android meme as I projected it.
And that developing the thing, you didn't discount it as it was going on in my perception.
Yeah.
What happened is you allowed it to be applied. So it was as real and as true as I ever thought it was. It's just in a different form.
Yeah. Well, we don't know what's real or true, so
that's the point.
Yeah. That's the point. And the it just occurs to me now to ask, do you think that your work will become more appreciated in the long run? Will it be remembered?
Well, I hope not in the same way as Watergate.
Oh, well, Watergate's remembered, and it's part of history. What you? I think you mean something else, but you'll have to spell out what it is. Was that a joke?
No, apparently it was an android meme.
Good one. But
the goal was being, when the gold prospects were being developed, we saw and knew what was taking place.
Yeah.
Some we could discuss, some we couldn't discuss. We discussed all that we could. But in the directions that came a future experience, that became almost fulfilled and is being fulfilled. So I almost didn't want to be right.
Yes, now when you said that would be fulfilled, do you mean the getting involved with gold or the negative projections was the that?
Negative projections.
Right.
That were coming with it.
Okay, so
there's no standard by which anything can be judged.
Now this brings up a really interesting thing. Since you've talked to the vehicle recently, but 2 years ago I discussed the gold deal with the vehicle, because we were kind of getting into gold deals, kinds of investment possibilities with the vehicle. He said that you, Dr. Beter, moved forward, attempted what the vehicle and I were attempting in a way, but jumped the gun or was too early or didn't have the right alignment with it, so it fell apart. What do you think of the vehicle's interpretations of your version of the gold deal, of going for the gold back then 20 years ago?
Where do you think he got the new idea now from?
He has many new ideas. I don't know what the new idea is that you're referring
the
to.
The new gold contracts that we were trying to complete then. We were a little premature because when the dollar, what we were trying to base it against,
yeah,
wasn't based against anything. The dollar had more power based on the oil reserves, and that oil was against the dollar. It displaced gold out of the equation.
Yes.
So we were ahead of our time a bit, whereas if that same strategy had been implemented slowly from Hunt Brothers forward, it would have been the absolute perfect solution. And I think he's completed that with contracts as we speak.
That he has acquired.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I'm not privy to, right?
Well, he talks to you more than anybody, I don't know.
I don't know what he's been doing in the gold world. It's always been a mystery. I know he was doing something with them. He knew how much gold there was in the world. And he told me those statistics, so I knew he was buying and selling or something.
Well, and he was under the delusion that he had to have it for his little power deal.
The vehicle did.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't need that now, you're saying?
Mm-hmm. He didn't. He found it out.
Okay, so that's, you're saying that you thought you had to do it too. You had the same delusion.
Sure.
All right, so he now doesn't need the gold. Is that what you're saying?
He doesn't require it.
Right, and what I would say is that I've always thought that, even though I really didn't know much about it, I just thought from McLuhan's point of view that gold could not be the anchor.
Correct.
Right. So, back to a very interesting thing happened to me last night. Through another medium, Walter Boert spoke to me, and he projected that my radio show and my role in it is going to really take off to the point that the Queen will request me to come and have dinner with her. When I hear that, as I heard last night, I immediately think of you, because according to you, you told me you had an audience with the Queen.
Yes.
And to me, when I think about that, when I'm thinking that your information was eccentric, I find it interesting that the Queen seems to be interested in eccentrics. But we did have had Hugh Sims Hilditch. He spoke probably highly of you, and that's why you got in with the Queen. And so it's not that your information was whack. It does, or wacky. It does. It is interesting to me. Is the Queen a nut job interested in eccentric information, or she's very knowledgeable and knows the truth, the close to the truth that you were discussing?
She and her closest advisors are probably the most informed. They're probably more informed than most anyone else on the planet.
Because
she doesn't give a lot of her advisors do.
Give a lot of regard. You mean they're very proud of their position?
Mm-hmm.
But she's. Is she quite enlightened or detached about it all? Or she doesn't realize the importance of it?
Oh, there's very little she doesn't realize. She realizes. He gets it. He got it. It was important then before she achieved it. Before they started chucking Balmoral full of gold, she knew.
She knew what?
She knew how important it was.
So she acquired a lot of gold through her mother.
But she also acquired a lot through the Commonwealth.
Okay. There's gold in Balmoral Castle?
Yes.
Okay.
In our world, it's good to be the Queen.
In your world, meaning spirit, it's good to be the Queen. What do you make of that, Carol?
Position of power.
All right, now, well, what would you care? What would spirit care?
The world. Are you done with me, Bob, now? Are we moving on?
No. I'm talking to Dr. Peter.
Okay. And redefine the question a little bit because it goes to a larger scale.
All right, boy.
I don't think I can go through, but I can give you the part that I know if I completely understand the question.
All right, my question was, why does Spirit say it's good to be queen of the world?
Spirit didn't say that.
Okay. Okay. Oh, okay, good. Why do you say that?
Because of the power that she controls through the monarchy. You realize the monarchy now has no power, and yet she's still the queen.
Right.
The monarchy has even lost, my stars, it's lost even... In the chambers, the Labor Party, the Whigs, have kind of taken over. Now they charge the Queen taxes.
She's
more than a taxpaying citizen. And yet she's still the Queen. Yet she still speaks for Brown. Yet she can move Parliament. And she's not even the President. And she's not even the Prime Minister. She's not really anything. And she can have flatulence and they'll bow.
That's right. So you're saying that she has behind the scenes incredible economic clout, like a trillionaire would have.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Without any of those necessary responsibilities.
Of power.
Correct.
Yes, like a quadrillionaire we were talking about a couple hours ago.
Or it seems rates are the same?
Yeah, the verbiage? Yeah, the remember, Carolyn, it was he doesn't prefer to have the power. It's not relevant, but he has it, but doesn't have to go through the daily routines of it.
Yeah.
So there was
she gives a Christmas address, but she doesn't have to.
That's right, yeah. Does Dr. Beter see the Walter Bowers projection that I'll be talking to the Queen? You see that happening?
Yes.
Because she will hear the kinds of things that I said today on the show.
Yes, if you can keep your little buddy Chris Story out of it.
And that means don't talk about him? Is that what you mean?
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, he
does. You know that already.
That's right, but he does. The last words? What were the last words?
Loose cannon.
Right, but he thinks he's getting communiques from the Queen. Is that a delusion?
He also thought you were a CIA operative.
That's right. So he's deluded on the Queen thing.
Well, she sees it for what it is. He becomes a disinformation junkie.
For her?
Yes.
Yeah, so she uses him. Okay.
Of course.
Did she want to use you in any way?
She wanted, well, you know that. Yes, of course she did.
Did she want to find out whether there were organic robotoids?
No, she wanted to find out how the fastest way to get the rest of the gold out of Fort Knox, she could do it.
If she could do it, right.
And did.
So you as a gold expert was part of the reason she interviewed you?
Absolutely. And the advisors. There's much more time spent with the advisors, but we discussed that.
Yes. So the was there no gold in Fort Knox, or just 90% of it was gone?
When?
In the 70s, or in the 80s, when you just said that she wanted to get the rest of the gold out of Fort Knox.
I didn't say she didn't either, did I?
Yeah, you didn't say she didn't. And so she got it.
That way.
Is that, did Ian Fleming in Goldfinger understand the movement of gold?
Yes.
And was it moved towards the Queen?
Yes.
Yeah, some people think it was David Rockefeller who got the gold. That's the,
no.
Yeah. But the Queen got it. She didn't steal it. She bought it, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. She was owed it.
How far back do the historical contracts go that created that Boeing?
Queen Isabella and the Magna Carta.
That's 1200, isn't it? And Queen Isabella is the Spanish queen?
Yes.
Right. Okay, there's a lot to, in other sessions, it'd be fun to go into the details. We're going to keep you on staff, Dr. Beter.
Always good to see you.
Well, I finished. I just want to say a couple of personal things. I remember when I went to see Felix. Remember I went over to London to meet with Felix.
Yes.
And I decided through Sims Hildage somehow not to see him. And you were disappointed that I didn't go see Felix. And you told me, Bob, you should always go and see him. Do you feel I made a mistake? Is that mistake still not as a big Damoclean sword? But is that, from your point of view, a mistake? Should I have gone to him, or was all irrelevant anyways?
Well, the only reason that you should go see him is when you check in, if you got yourself in a mess, he can help you out. You always check in, the one that can get you out of a mess if you get in a mess. You understand if you've taken one step the wrong way, they would have had an issue with you being there and had you checked in with him. If there was a bomb, he could have worked it out.
Right. Are you talking about Hugh Sims Hildish was concerned about me?
Yeah.
Okay. But he knew I came on your word.
I understand, but that if you got in trouble and got hemmed up, who was going to help you? I couldn't help you out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, how could I help you out of it? Involved.
Did you say you weren't involved?
I was involved.
So that you couldn't help me out?
I couldn't get you out of it, but he could be the good.
And Hugh couldn't. Well, Hugh would create the problem.
Exactly.
Is Hugh still alive? In the physical?
I'm not sure.
Did he mean?
I'm not sure.
He was the Queen's main. Was he a Queen's advisor?
It was more. No, he was. He represented the Whigs for the Queen.
Okay.
Then, so he was detached, but he was close enough. But if you got crossways, you think the Queen Mother was going to give you a writ to get you out? She wouldn't know who you were.
That's right.
That's probably the only one that could, because Elizabeth couldn't, because he was also involved.
Right.
Why would she care?
Yeah, and you were saying, did you say Hugh was the only one who could get me out? Is that what you just said?
Felix was the only one who could get you out.
How could Felix, who was a nobody, it seemed to me?
Why do you think I said go check with him first, every time?
In other words, he was more significant than I realized. Right. And how?
He had a very good eye.
Right, but he was Nigerian, I think.
He had a very good eye.
For what?
Watched.
Okay. What? I found Hugh Simms Hildes incredibly tolerant. He got married around the time that I was there. And I called him late at night and woke him up. It was his honeymoon night. Even though they'd been living together, I assume. I felt embarrassed that I interrupted his honeymoon night. But he accepted it and was okay. And I used to call him a few more times and maybe interrupt his life. He seemed to be a pretty good guy. Would you agree?
He was under a lot of pressure.
Oh, so it was like, whatever. If I was potentially pulling something off, then I was allowed to interrupt his honeymoon.
Well, he didn't have that much power. He just had other things going on. He had other things going on. There was a lot of pressure. As I understand it, he was under a lot of pressure that he had to complete certain tasks that he obviously was behind schedule regarding.
Right. And you said he didn't have much power, but he was under a lot of pressure. How did you meet him?
We were at a conference in Salem, Massachusetts.
In what years?
Gosh, it would have been in the 70s.
Right, long before I met him.
Yeah.
And so was that a conference on gold?
No. It was a conference. It was a conference on economic development.
Sounds like about 1975.
It was when they started moving the rest of the gold to the Depot Street, Wall Street.
The rest of the gold from Fort Knox?
Well, from everywhere. The repository. And it came out about the Depot Street Reserve.
Okay.
The vaults on Depot Street.
Yes.
We talked about that.
Yeah. Now, was Simms Hildes, had you started the audio letter when you met him?
No, I don't think so. I think that came in the letter a little later. We were afraid. You can't just have that out. There was a lot of developing things, and, you know, we just got through looking for communists. My God, you couldn't go too far into there.
Yeah. And since the audio letter started in June 75, I think, so you probably met him in 73, 74. You went public about the Fort Knox gold issue in 74, so was he aware of that when you met him?
Yes, I believe he was.
Right. He didn't.
I don't know that we didn't have a big, long conversation. There wasn't this huge information exchange, but he was scared of me as a snake.
Right.
And I was as wary again as him as an adder.
Right. But time brought you closer together years later.
Well, it was mutual. His goals and my goals were pretty close.
Did he realize that later in the late 70s, early 80s, and got working with you or brought you in? Yeah.
He didn't bring me in. I allowed him in.
Right.
My deal, you know that.
Right. Now, the Evergreens, I was talking, always tracking this through the Evergreens, and they told me that they said originally your information was wrong. And years later, they told me that they said that because if I was the kind of temperament that if they said it was real, I would have made a beeline to you, and I would have got in over my head and in trouble because of the serious levels of intelligence agents or whatever you were working with.
You would have never gotten that clearance because of your citizenship popping.
Yeah.
You would have never gotten that clearance. Get close enough to do any damage, but you could have been hurt in the process.
Yeah. And not that, no, I wouldn't have made a beeline to hurt you. I would have made a beeline to become a friend and find out what you could tell me, right? I'm an information junkie.
Well, we always controlled that a little bit, but you were always the friend. There's no contest there.
Yeah.
You always wanted the rest of the story.
Yes. And
you couldn't handle it. You know, I wouldn't mind sharing it with you because it comes out now that I might have been better off if you more people had been aware.
Yeah.
But, you know, hindsight 2020, but the creation was still created. I just didn't get to finish it.
Right, and so the Aryans were correct was it derailing me or...
I was keeping you out of harm's way.
Yeah, which would be it would do me no good in my life path to get involved with that, right?
You would have been derailed, I guess would be the right word.
Yeah.
That's not the word.
It's like just off down the rabbit hole, as the vehicle would say.
Well, it would have set you on a different path.
Yeah. And then my next point, my next point was, once I talked to you through the Evergreens after you passed on, here's a question. Were you murdered?
No.
No. You had five heart attacks before, so you were vulnerable, right?
Well, if I was murdered, it was my wanting.
Okay, but you weren't murdered. Yeah.
I might have been squelched a little bit.
And did that create pressure and strain on your heart?
Yeah. Yes, it did.
Okay, so
it revived my remembrance of my mortality, because you remember there was a time when I thought I was immortal.
Yes. So when I spoke to you through the Evergreens after you passed over and taped it and gave it to Lily and the kids, played it for them in your home, that would have been October 88, what was their reactions to that?
A little disbelief, but the resonance. They knew that the resonance of me was there. And it sort of spooked them a little bit.
It was, the resonance was in the tape, or you were in the room?
Oh.
Yeah. They could feel it. Okay, so, because there wasn't much response, I gave them the tape, and...
What did they do with the piano?
I wouldn't know. I didn't...
Was the piano in the room when you were there?
I don't remember it.
I think they sold it.
Right. So, let's come up to date here. A couple years ago, Googled Lily and got the youngest daughter's name. I forget her name now. You know the youngest daughter's name?
Delia.
Delia. Right. And so I called her, and she was shocked that her phone number was out there, and beg your pardon?
She wasn't shocked that her phone number was out there. She was shocked that her phone number was out there for you.
Meaning?
She didn't think you'd call.
She put it out there for me, is what you're saying?
No. Saying she did. She was surprised that her phone number was out there. She's in the book, for God's sake. She was surprised that you would actually call her.
Right. Now, why would she be surprised?
Because she thought she made it pretty clear that she wasn't
Right. That must have been communicated. Yeah, that was a few years before. Yes, when she moved to New York City, Lily gave me her number and I spoke to her. She was just starting to be in New York City. And then there was no follow-up. Right. And then years later, I call her and she's surprised I'm calling back. And then she supposedly was going to ask, did she ask Lily if I could talk to her? Or did she just go through the motions pretending, knowing that Lily wouldn't want to hear from me?
She was about to expose you to Lily.
Right, because she knew her mother was terrified with that whole...
Well, and kind of frail at that stage of the game, because it's like she'd had enough.
Yeah. And,
she didn't support the whole thing anyway. I mean...
It was a strength.
She didn't support the whole process, because in her opinion, that's why she lost me.
Yes, yeah. She, as you were getting the heart attack, she knew it was caused by your work, or she felt it was. And that wasn't good. So, is she alive today?
I think so.
Yeah. Is it hard for you to see?
Can't see. There's blocks.
Okay.
There's blocks. They're unfathomable. Every bad memory, every huge image, as time passes, they have blocked every remembrance of what was known as my reality because of those pains that were caused. They were mad because it didn't go through. They were mad because of the issues of the estate and the money and the whole thing. You remember all that?
Yeah.
It was just in their mind, a bad deal.
Right, and they kind of blamed you. Right, so in the spirit plane we are now, all that pain is like exaggerated, and so it's blocked.
That seems to be the case.
Yeah, yeah. Carolyn, do you have anything you want to bring up with Dr. Peter?
No, I'm pretty needing to go to bed now.
Oh, okay, it's all right. Well, I'll carry on.
Good night, Ian. It's great to be talking with you.
We love you very much.
Oh, thank you.
That's a we there. So back to Dr. Peter. It's great to be able to get some of these, you know, the human mind remembers these things, these lingering questions, so it's great to get your input on it. Because
we enjoy the interaction as well. Your conversation somehow keep us around.
My conversations in life or tonight? What's the time frame you mean?
If you didn't request it to me, it's as though I never was.
Mm.
Ah, so this is it makes you have an identity or an affirmation.
It's almost like, as you called it, old school.
So that is it that you're aware of all your lives that your soul has, and this is a dim memory if no one's bringing it up?
It fades. That fades.
Wow. So I'm talking to the personality of Dr. Peter, who lived that life, but there's more to that being who has many lives lived to be lived that I'm addressing but is not talking to me, right?
Joe, I think you got it.
So what happened to who were your sources? What were they? Were they people pissed off at Rockefeller, former employees of Rockefeller?
Came from the Chateau Lafitte.
That's Rothschilds. Okay, so they had a battle with the Rockefellers.
Except for your connection to the Bilderbergers, don't forget them.
I'm not sure what you mean by that. My connection to them?
The connection of the Bilderbergers, that's how you would get to the feet.
Okay, right, that's right. Versus the Trilateral Commission.
That is correct.
Yeah. So...
Or you call it the Illuminati.
Yes. Now, so why would you be... did you become an agent for the Rothschilds, or just went along with their... information they gave you?
It was just too much sugar for a dime. You couldn't get
So you kept your distance.
Well, participate, but always from a just an advisory position and or such a deal I have for you, or what is it, the Monty Hall, or let's make a deal.
Yeah.
I always saved out curtain number two.
You always what said? Saved?
Saved out curtain number two.
Okay, I never watched the show. Saved out means something. You know,
another choice.
Beg your pardon?
Another opportunity.
Oh, okay, right, right. Kept your door open. So they gave you the information, and they were, in your scenario, the Rockefellers were against the Rothschilds, and the Rothschilds worked with the Bolsheviks.
Yes.
And the Rockefellers were in the mix. They're all in the same room, so to speak. But as the 70s unfolded, push came to shove between the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers.
Yeah, it wasn't portrayed quite that way, but that was the guts of it.
But when you say it wasn't portrayed that way by you mean?
Well, by them. They would be bosom buddies if you put them in a press conference.
Yes, right. Yeah, I get that. And then, so, of that battle, I think the vehicle has told me that the Rockefellers and Rothschilds are not doing too good right today. Sounds like the Queen did better.
You wrote she's outlived them.
Yeah, yeah. And the Queen, people like Lynn LaRouche would say the Queen was the front for the Rothschilds, or vice versa, the Rothschilds were the front for the Queen. Is that historically accurate?
No. What is historically accurate is that just as Elizabeth is the head of the church,
yeah,
they were the head of the Bank of England.
Right. And that's a separation of church and state then?
If you want to call it that, she couldn't be both.
Right, but she could acquire gold personally.
And put it at the Bank of England.
And then become what do you call the top shareholder sort of thing, right?
Because of the share she held.
Yeah.
But the shares were valued by what the Bank of England could do.
Yeah.
That had to do with the other gold that was coming in. She wasn't counting on that, but that's why it's her personal responsibility to keep the pound strong.
All right, just hey, Carolyn. I just want to ask Carolyn. Hey, Carolyn. I will just click the button off when it's over, and I'll just leave it there. I'm not touching it.
Shut the cover.
I'll shut the cover, okay. I don't even want to do that because I might move it off.
No.
I have to shut the cover? Shut the cover, Carolyn?
Yes.
You put it down. It's okay. All right. So, very good information, Dr. Peter. The banking, they control, they set the price of gold. That affects what she acquires, and then she has responsibility, did you say?
She can run it without being responsible.
How does she run it without being responsible?
She's the largest shareholder in the Bank of England.
So they run it on
her
behalf.
And her shares are worth more if that gold is deposited at the Bank of England. It's a win-win.
I see. So there never was too much antagonism between her and them?
Oh, I'm sure they had their moments.
Yeah.
When they started that damn euro business and all that other stuff, I'm sure they had their moments.
Were the Rothschilds for the euro?
They were for anything that they could completely and totally control.
Right. Remember how you used to read Cosmic Awareness Communications?
Yes.
I don't know if you know about the Rai story. I don't know if Paul Shockley went into that as much as the previous medium, Dave Worster. Can you tune in right now immediately to the whole Rai thing that's in my mind by reading my mind quickly and be up to speed on it?
Yes.
The collapse of Rai, which was the term for the foundation of principalities all through history, the Queen is an expression of the Rai principle through history, are we seeing the collapse of the Rai principality meme with what's happened the past year in Wall Street?
Almost. That's almost perfect words. But let me add, it's not so much a collapse as it's a shift.
Yes.
It's more of a shift than a collapse.
So
it never really collapses. It just changes.
Yes, the king puts on different clothing or positioning or something.
Or the monarchy changes
yes.
the next tier or the next level.
Right, they did change their name, you know, 100 years ago. That's an example.
Exactly.
So, Walter Boward, did you know of Walter Boward when you were alive? He wrote the book Operation Mind Control.
I don't know. I think that might have been a lot for my time, or I wasn't exposed to it.
Yeah.
That was pretty, I remember that was a little more out there, wasn't it?
Yeah, and MK Ultra stuff, a little further out than you take it.
You couldn't get there.
Right.
It's just A plus B didn't equal B squared.
Right. So Walter Boward told me last night that I'll be meeting with the Queen, and the royals are having a bit of problem figuring out what their role is today or purpose or something, and that I will help them make a shift in something. That sounds like what you're talking about. They're going to have to shift in a way.
They're going to have to shift in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that I'll be somehow giving them the intellectual reasons to do it or to accept it.
Does that interest you?
Oh, it'll be interesting. I'll be walking in your footsteps.
Be very careful.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.